morning. Yeah, it's like that, isn't it? I thought we might do things differently this morning, and we might do two things differently. Number one, we might do the how not to read the Bible this morning, and number two, instead of me talking through this topic, what we'd do is we would get you into groups and give you some exercises to do. And, well, it's more than exercises, it's an exam in groups, by which I mean I've got some questions for you to do in groups, but I'm going to give you exactly the time period you've got to do them in and treat it like an exam, and the group that gets the most right wins. Okay, so it's not a case of let's waffle on about this one for another 10 minutes because this one's really interesting. We've got to try and get as many of these right as possible. Okay, now before we do that, I want to say something very briefly about what I would have talked about today under the heading of how to read the Bible. And this really comes down to the key point we've been leading up to. We started off by saying, well, to read the Bible, you need to read the Bible. Then we said the same thing another way. To read the Bible, you need to read the text. Then we said it a slightly different way. To read the Bible, you've got to keep on reading the Bible. Okay? But here's the question for today. What is the aim of reading the Bible? Well, the aim of reading the Bible is to get the author's point, or the main point of whatever we're reading, or the big idea, or the main message. Shall I write those things down? This is what we're trying to do. We want to get the main point. And there might be more than one point that we get out of reading something. We want to get what the author's trying to bring out of it. So you can look for the big idea, and there might be smaller ideas as well. This is the way I'd put it, though. We want to get out of the Bible what the author's message is, we want to look for the author's intention. You see, all communication is trying to get a message across. Now, you can communicate information by smoke signals. It's trying to get a message across. You can communicate a message through an advertisement. You remember those before they banned? Have you banned cigarette advertising in the United States? Remember those Marlboro Man advertisements? This man out on a horseback somewhere smoking a cigarette. It didn't say anything, but it was this idea of, I'm tough and I smoke. They're getting a message across. What is the author trying to get across? And why do we want to see what is the author's intention? Because we don't want to be doing this other sort of Bible reading where I am, instead of the author's intention, we are imposing our own agenda on it. That's imposition as opposed to exposition. Exposition is bringing out what the Bible says, but we can be engaged in imposition, foisting upon the Bible what we would like it to say. In a lot of home Bible study groups, if you go around the circle, it's, oh, well, what this means to me is this. And then you must never say anything negative about that. So it becomes, in some cases, a pooling of ignorance. Everybody says something wrong. That's a nice thought. Well, we want not what it means to me. We want what it means. We want to see what the author's trying to communicate. What's he trying to get at? Now, I don't know about advertising in America, but we get lots of big motorway and roadside billboards in England and Australia. And some of them, and even some advertisements on TV occasionally now, I have to see not one of them, and not one of them five times, but I have to see almost the series of advertisements before I think, oh, that's what they're saying. And they're deliberately provoking me to think and to try and work out, what are you trying to get across? Shall I give you an example? There was this advertisement for some sort of cable TV thing, and some channel or some system of cable, and you have a group of men, a family, sitting around, and they're camping out next to a river, and the father is talking away and talking away and talking away, and all of the rest of his family say, "Who are you?" And that's it. And then they do another one, a man and a woman sitting on the side of a hill. And the man and the woman, after talking for a minute, you realise they don't know each other. But one of them is acting like he's perfectly at home in this situation. He knows this woman. And it turns out what the ad is that the husband of the family and the boyfriend have basically swapped places with someone else because they're watching TV at home. And this other person is just sort of living real life through their TV or something like this. I had to watch about four of these ads before I got it. Okay, but people communicate a message through that. And they're saying, well, it's as good as real life watching this channel. Or I'd rather be watching it than being with my family camping or something like that. But we need to try and find out what is being communicated. And we were talking last night about when you're preaching, what you need to do is you need to tell them what you're going to say, you need to say it, and then after you've finished, you tell them what you've said. Now, they don't do that on those ads, do they? And most of the time in the Bible, it doesn't do that either. Hardly ever does the Bible say, listen, this is what this passage is about. You've got little paragraph headings up the top of a lot of your Bibles that do that, but they aren't inspired. God didn't put them there. And when you're looking at the Bible and reading through it, you're trying to work out, okay, what is the message of this here? Now, we talked about text and context, and here's another word for today. I don't know how much it's used over here, apart from probably literature classes. Subtext. What is subtext? Nobody knows, okay? If I say to my boys, if you eat your carrots, you'll be able to see better at night. What am I really saying? Eat your carrots. But I don't say it like that. Or when I was a boy, my dad would say things like, you'll come a cropper if you don't work hard at school. Or you'll end up like a street sweeper if you don't work hard at school. Now, what's he saying? Work hard at school. But you can't just keep on saying, work hard at school, Andrew. Work hard at school, Andrew. You say it by more subtle means, like those. And oftentimes in the... this is what is called subtext, okay? There is a message being communicated and you've got to try and get it. And there's lots of narratives in the Old Testament. What is the point of 1 Kings? What's it trying to communicate? What's the point of Leviticus? Maybe. You're going to be asked that question in your quiz today.
So he said maybe. The subtext was maybe not.
it's true. It does. Yeah.
So when you say eat your carrots and you'll see better, you'll be able to see better. The text was what you said, and then the subtext would have been eat your carrots.
Yeah. Right? Now, we could have said it another way. People who eat their carrots see better at night. Eat your carrots. It's good for you. You can say it without being using an imperative. Eat.
The unwritten text, the unwritten message.
Yeah, the message is coming through. Okay. So we don't want our agenda in the text. We want the author's agenda. And, you know, oftentimes we come to the Bible with our own questions and problems, or we've got some major decision we've got to make hanging over us, and we read everything in the Bible waiting for this question to be answered. And we're trying to read maybe life tips out of Jeremiah for my situation at the moment. And maybe God will speak to us about that situation. I'm not saying He can't. But that's not the primary reason Jeremiah was written, to help us make a decision about what course to take at university. What is Jeremiah's point? What is Jeremiah's message? Now, it might have general principles that apply to us as we make decisions through life. But that is the most important thing. Now, we're going to come on tomorrow to the final thing I'm going to talk about. Well, how does this apply to me? But we sometimes just start there. We say, well, what has this got to say to me today? If it's God's word and it's living, well, it's got to be speaking to me. So this is the main thing we should be trying to do when we're reading the Bible. What is God saying here? Not what is God saying to me, that is a secondary question, but what is God saying? What is the message He's trying to convey? And how do we go about trying to work that out? Well, maybe the best way is to ask questions of the text all the way through, like me watching that television ad. What are they trying to communicate here? And then as you see a sequence of advertisements, why do they repeat this same concept? And what's the continuing element in this? Why does God use that word? I would have expected Him to use a different word at this point. What is the context of what I'm reading here? That's an important question. And we're going to think a little bit today about the structure of the book. How does God structure? We've been looking at it in Matthew. How does God structure His message? So if you've got a great big long story to tell, it's following a structure here. I can see that. How does it structure itself? You see, in engineering, there's a saying among engineers, so I am told, that form follows function. Now, do you know what that means? It means this, that if you're going to build a motor car, you don't start with the graphic designers saying, well, let's make it look nice like this. You say, well, what is its main function? What's it trying to do? What's the main point of this thing? Let's get that absolutely clear first of all, and then we'll do all the window dressing at the end. So the form that you're putting something into is what it's trying to achieve. So the structure you're building is what you start off with, and then you do all the fancy work around the end. The function is what you're trying to get to. The main point. What is the main function of this passage? But the form, how it's formed, will follow that as well. So there will be a correlation between the two. How you structure this message shows what it's trying to do. So structure is important, whether it's in an automobile or whether it's in a piece of literature. Okay, so that's enough of me talking about that. What we're going to do now is we're going to give you your exam, and this is the way it's going to work. First of all, we'll divide you into 5 groups, okay? Basically, the 5 rows, starting from behind Alex, Daniel, and John here, all the way across, are one team each. And I'll get you three guys to go on the two of you to go on the last row, and one of you to go on this row here. Okay? Now, that might not work out quite right. Put up your hand if you think your row is lacking maybe in big hitters. Okay, so Dan and Alex, would you mind going up to the back row?
Sure.
Take your stuff with you. And we'll try and find places for you all to go separately. How are we looking? That row looks good. All right. Okay, now... Okay. Let's see. I want this to be even. Okay, a nice contest. How's your row looking now, Justin? Does that look nicer now? Okay. So you're happy, are you?
If anybody's overweighted and heavy hitters, we could put John on your team if we need to.
Okay. All right. I think you're looking too happy now, Justin.
It's a compliment.
So I'm going to move Dan one row forward. And I'm going to move Graham one row back, okay? Sorry, Graham. Okay, now how's it looking? Okay, I think it's looking okay. This row down the front's only got four people. Now, John, are you going to...
Ryan was here.
Wow, Ryan's distorting the averages. Okay. So how are we looking? Is everybody happy at the moment? What about this row here? The second one back, these guys have got Ryan as well. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to swap Craig over for Abby, okay? Craig and Abby, you can swap. Yep, come up higher. All right, now here's what we're going to do. In each of your groups, I want you, when I give you, it's going to be 1 hour, and that's all you get. 1 hour, and there's 10 questions, so 6 minutes per question. Now listen. Yeah, listen. Inside that hour, you have to do three things, before you even start looking at the questions. Number one is you have to copy them off the board. And I would suggest, because there's 10 questions and most of you have got five or six people in your group, just split it up and say you copy numbers 1 and 2, you copy numbers 3 and 4, or whatever the way you want to split it up, so you're not all taking up 10 minutes writing down 10 questions. So that's when I say go. As well as that, I want you in your groups, and this isn't a biblical thing to do, but I want you to elect a leader. I want you to vote on it because you're going to need someone to drive your group hard, okay? Someone who's sensible about how they drive the group. Someone who's going to really bring out the best in your group, okay? Now, if you'll sit around for the first 5 minutes saying, oh, well, what one will we do first? And we just all dance around the issue, you're going to run out of time. I want you to try and get through as many of these. So that's the only reason I want you to elect a leader. Now, in your groups, if you have a difference of opinion about something, it's majority wins. You have one answer for your group. Okay, you don't have a minority report. Okay, do we understand that? So what your leader writes down has to be not his opinion, her opinion. It has to be what the most people in your group think. Even if you as a leader think this is wrong, you have to write it down. Okay, leader? Okay, now, the other thing you're going to have to do is you're going to have to find somewhere within this 1 hour for your group to do your discussions, okay? So I don't know if we can use the room in there again.
Yes.
Okay, so maybe two groups in here, three groups in there. All right, we're going to try and put up these questions now. Now, John, do you want to be in this as well? You could be in this first group here, okay? Okay, now... I'm going to be a little bit generous, okay? I'm going to say you've got 1 hour and 8 minutes from now. Okay, let's bring it up then. You've got till 11 o'clock. Yeah, let's go. Here they are, okay? Sorry, I can't get them all up there. I should have...
They could get number one down or two, and I can get the copy you made of that.
Don't worry, I can do this, I can do this, I can do this. Some of them are multiple choice, some of them are... Sorry if that's too small. I was going to put it up on a website, but I thought that would be shameless self-promotion of my website, so.
I have my answer to my question already.
That's good.
Andrew, are we going in different rooms?
You can go where you want as a group, okay?
Okay. So we're not starting right now.
Yeah, this is it. You've got 1 hour and 5 minutes till 11 o'clock. Now, tell me if there's any things that you see up there that don't make grammatical sense, because I've just typed these out and I haven't got my proofreader to read them for me. I don't have a proofreader. Now, you notice that some of them get to the point of things, and we'll be discussing in a little bit, okay?